Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. This week, I'm joined by the one and only, the inimitable Jason Lipschutz.
Hey man, what's going on?
As well as the other one and only, the other inimitable, Chris Payne.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And make sure to stick around till the end of the podcast. We have an interview and exclusive in-studio performance with Mr. Wives, who, if you don't know, are this fantastic New York-based band. They stopped by to perform Reflections. It's a great song. They did a really lovely performance, so that'll be at the end of the podcast. Let's talk about a song. So first up, I want to highlight the new Bruno Mars Mark Ronson track, which is called Uptown Funk. If you hadn't heard it, it's pretty incredible. I mean, it's basically like, so Bruno Mars' last album. I should say this is primarily a Mark Ronson track. It's like Mark Ronson featuring the vocals of Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Mark Ronson's next album is going to feature apparently several Bruno Mars vocals. This is one of them. But it really sounds like it could be an unorthodox jukebox track, which Bruno Mars' last album, the whole idea was he was doing his own songs in the style of other people's, you know, basically like taking the sound of Sting and the Police and then writing a song. And, you know, that became Locked Out of Heaven. This is 100% Prince circa 1999 Dirty Mind. Like, it's got the punchy horns and like the snappy funk beat and the like nimble riff where it sounds like the guitarist's hands are just like flying over this super funky riff. And also those like weird spacey synths in the background that you only get out of like the early 80s Minneapolis sound. So it's 100% Prince. Like, if Prince didn't exist, this song wouldn't exist, but there's nothing wrong with that. Like, Prince is incredible and this is awesome. So that's my take on it.
Yeah. I mean, so the thing about this song, which I love, is that it's Bruno Mars is by nature very derivative. Like every single song that he puts out, I feel like you're just like, this is a clear reference point to that. And this, I feel like you say Prince, I definitely hear like James Brown. I hear Earth, Wind & Fire, Shining Star. And if you can look past how derivative it is, because it really is, and if you can just look past that, it's a jam. Like, it's just a great, great dance track. And it's funny because I mean, if you think about this as like a stopgap between Bruno Mars' second and third albums, because that's basically what it is, compared to the last one he did between his first and second albums, he put out that Twilight song, It Will Rain, which was like this mopey kind of Twilight song. I don't really know how, I feel like Twilight song should be its own genre.
Right.
But this is so much more fun and it's so much more confident. He knows exactly what he's doing on this track. And Mark Ronson, like, his career as like a curator has been very up and down. He's made a lot of songs with Daniel Merriweather that weren't very good. He made a song on his last album, Record Collection, called Bang Bang with Q-Tip and MNDR, which is great. And this is probably the best song that Mark Ronson has done in terms of on his solo stuff. I mean, not counting like the Amy Winehouse stuff. This is probably the best song he's done, I think, on his, you know, he's had three albums, I think, before this. And then this is his fourth. But yeah,
this stands out.
Great. Like, this is a great, great song. What do you think, C-Pain?
Oh, this was it sounds fantastic, but this is the one I didn't get time to hear.
Oh man, hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Well, it's good stuff.
We've previewed it. It's almost like you're a listener on the podcast. We should mention that C-Pain was he was out of the country this whole week too. C-Pain, do you want to tell the Must Hear Music podcast listeners where you were?
I was in Iceland actually while the Airwaves Music Festival was going on. Because I was on vacation. I was not being a music journalist actively. I did not have a proper wristband, but fortunately, so I did not get to see the Knife perform for the last time ever. But I did get to go into many unofficial shows that were just in shops and boutiques in Reykjavik that were part of, like, loosely part of Airwaves Festival, and that was really interesting, seeing,
did
like,
you...
just Icelandic artists playing in shops.
How many glaciers did you see?
I don't really know if I, because we were going to go hiking on a glacier one day, but because it was too windy, it got canceled. So I don't know if we really saw glaciers.
Canceled the glacier.
Glacier hike? So we saw geysers and dormant extinct volcanoes and waterfalls, hot springs. I don't know if we really saw glaciers. We saw mountains.
We saw water in different varieties.
Yeah.
Like,
it was basically I took geology 101 in college. This was like a very delayed geology 102.
Oh yeah, we took that. We had the same. We had the same professor.
I don't have the same geology background, so I'm afraid I'm gonna have to toss it off to the song.
Man. Anyway,
Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson, Uptown Funk. Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name. All right, that was the new Mark Ronson Bruno Mars jam. Next up, let's talk a Jason pick. We got Shawn Mendes. The new song is Something Big.
Something Big. About to happen. Yeah, I mean, so Shawn Mendes, for those unfamiliar, he's like a 16-year-old Canadian male teen star. Like, he got his start on Vine, which is weird to think about, but it's true. And he has a huge fan base, over 2 million Twitter followers, and an Island record deal. And he put out his debut single, Life of the Party, I think in June, and it debuted in the top 40 of the Hot 100, so people were like, wow, this kid's actually a thing. So now Something Big, which came out last week, is his first single from his debut album, and it's totally different than Life of the Party. It's very much brassy and fun and big band, and I just don't think it really sits well. I just don't know. Like, it sounds like he's trying to catch up with all of the verses. Like, he's like sing rapping in them, and it sounds like a kind of a watered down version of Sing by Ed Sheeran with the call and response vocals. And I don't know. Like, it just doesn't really strike me in the way that. And the thing is, like, I want to preface this by saying that, like, I think Shawn Mendes, like, if there's anyone who's going to be like the next Justin Bieber, I think it's this kid. And I really like, he is really talented, but yeah, this single just doesn't really do it for me in the way that, like, Baby by Justin Bieber did.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's hard to match Baby, but I would say, listening to it, I was, I guess, struck. For someone who really only knows that he was Vine famous and doesn't know the music too well, it just seemed like the sound overpowered him. Like, you have some really forceful, like, kind of Spanish-styled guitar plucking and just, like, a really, like, booming sound, and then his voice is there, and it doesn't necessarily get overwhelmed, but it doesn't stand out, really. And I guess for a debut single from your big album, like, your voice should be a big part of it, and this just seems like the song takes over his voice, I guess.
Yeah, I felt like it could have been an effective song with a different artist or a different approach, somewhat different production. The core of the song could have been very catchy. But yeah, I didn't really think he brought much of anything interesting to the table. And also, in a more negative way, kind of got Mumford and Sons vibes from that big old chorus. Just it was not. It could have been. I mean, like One Direction have written songs with Mumford and Sons vibes that were great, but this song just seems like it was going in a thousand different directions and just came off kind of generic.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's just kind of a weird song lyrically, where it's the whole thing is like something big is about to happen, and then it just never happens. It's just a weird thing, and it's like
big? We just never find out.
It's just, but like. And I get that it's like kind of like it's a metaphor for his career or whatever, but like it's a weird, like isolated as a song, it's just a weird thing. Like it's just like he's like, you hear that sound, something big's about to happen. Like, oh, what's that? Do you feel your pulse racing? And then it's like, and then the chorus is like, something big's about to happen. And then the song's over. I don't know.
Thematically very Disney, like a song that's about something big and getting your pulse racing, but then you never find out what it is.
It's sort of like...
And it's also not about romance.
It's sort
just
of like,
this
what's
general...
this from Nightmare Before Christmas, where it's like, what's this?
Wow,
what's this?
But and not that good, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, like, he... I don't know if you guys have heard Life of the Party, which is the single that kind of was his debut single that debuted in the top 40, but like it's a really good song. Like it's a really good like contemplative like folk, not folk, but like acoustic pop song. And it's just, but it's like a really well-written song. And yeah, I can't get behind this one. Sorry, Shawn Mendes.
All right. Well, let's give it a listen. Yeah, I have to say, like, I don't hate it. Like, I'll definitely give him another listen when something comes through. Because by the rabid online fan base, you have to think there's something there. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, as I chew my pizza, he's opening for Taylor Swift next year. That's
oh,
like,
well, then boom.
It's he's opening for Taylor Swift in North America. It's him and Vance Joy. So
maybe
I mean,
that's
he's
the
like,
something big.
This is like a dude. Like if you guys listening don't know Shawn Mendes, like just check him out because he's not going anywhere. I guess.
So for him, 1989 is like the distant past.
Yeah,
he's like
well,
years
he
before
born,
I was
yeah,
born.
Exactly.
There was a year called yeah. Anyways, so let's listen to it. Shawn Mendes, Something Big. All right, that was Shawn Mendes, Something Big. Next up, we are going to talk about a C-Pain pick, which we're going to do the Jazz June. And the song is called After the Earthquake. It is the title track from their new album. So I'm going to toss it to the C-Pain.
Yeah, I was actually inspired to pick this song because right now I'm doing up an interview I did with Jazz June not too long ago. So stay tuned soon on billboard.com. We'll have that.
Little tease.
They were an indie band who had a couple albums in the late 90s. They were categorized like as emo, kind of not really what people would think of as emo that got popular, but when it sounded more like indie rock back in those days. And after a lot of that music kind of had a resurgence lately, Top Shelf Records, who has a lot of the newer emo bands, got these guys back together and they released a new album. And I really like it even more than their original stuff. I think it's a lot more well-written, a lot more mature sounding. And this song is just really neat. I like the balance of the rhythm line and the guitars coming in. It's just like very, very well done songwriting for a band that was a lot more raw back when they did their original stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say this kind of surprised me. I mean, I'm not like a huge fan, or I guess I should say I'm not hugely familiar with their catalog, but just knowing, you know, that they've been around since the 90s and that they were part of kind of that initial emo explosion, which again, as Chris mentioned, it sounds a lot different than what we imagine emo is nowadays. A lot less whiny, a lot less commercial as well. But this is a really like well-constructed sound. Like, and it, I feel like this is maybe not true, but vocally it reminded me a little of James Mercer, just in the sense of like very carefully delivered song, like very carefully crafted delivered song. It doesn't sound like the Shins at all, but yeah, it's great. It's a good rock tune.
No, C-Pain, were you a fan of these guys back when they were like in 02?
No, I really wasn't.
Okay.
I knew about their last album came out in 2000, so I really wasn't hugely aware of them until they got back together and put this album out.
Yeah, I was wondering because, you know, I have no, you know, kind of experience with them. I do like this song, and I feel like this is, it makes, knowing your taste in music, like I feel like it's a good pick for you.
Let's listen to it. This is the Jazz June. Song is called After the Earthquake. All right, that was the Jazz June. Keeping the indie theme going, next up, let's talk about Yacht. They have a new song and a new EP. The EP is called, I have it, I'm going to mangle it, I had to write it down, Where Does This Disco? And the album, or the EP cover, rather, is a hand holding a CD disc, a compact disc. So it's a little play on words there. So this new Yacht song is called Terminal Beach. I have to say, I've been a fan of Yacht for a long time, and even though I really like them, I'm always surprised that with every new release, I still like them, because I feel like each album, I'm like, okay, this is good, but really, where can they go next? And yet they always manage to surprise and entertain. So on this one, it's called Terminal Beach. It's from the EP, Where Does This Disco? It's just got this killer, like, early B-52s riff that sounds very much like the song Planet Claire, but not in a ripoff way, just kind of that, like, creepy chugging, like, almost cheesy sci-fi guitar riff. And then midway through, you get all these, like, Brian Eno, like, squealing and, like, almost sounds like early Devo, like when Devo was kind of rough and not quite so polished and chart-ready. So it just really reminds me of kind of, like, the early raw days of new wave music. Like, before a lot of great bands like the B-52s and Devo started charting hits, they were actually, like, pretty edgy, and that's kind of what this sounds like. So it's just, it's a really cool song, and I would say, if you've never seen Yacht live, if you've only, like, listened to them, they're totally worth, like, once you see them live, you understand what Yacht is.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I've never seen them live. I mean, I wrote about them a lot during the, like, the whole Sea Mystery Lights album in, like, 09, back when, before I was at Billboard. I talked to those guys, and yeah, they're always kind of interesting and in their own world. They seem to kind of exist in a music space, not even really within the indie scene, but kind of one that they've created. And I remember that album just being they're being obsessed with triangles. Do you remember this at all?
Yes. And yeah, they're still triangle obsessed.
Yeah, are they still triangle obsessed? I mean I've just heard this one song from their new project, but that's good. I mean, hey, we got to all latch onto something, and why not
yeah, triangles? It was interesting that you were talking about the riff. In their older music, there was hardly any guitar, if at all. Yeah. And they were much more of a, because they were on DFA, much more of a synthesizer sort of band. But like you were saying, Joe, they're a band that's really always changing, and you never know quite where they're going to go next. So it kind of made sense. Like, all right, and there's a whole new instrument in the forefront, and it makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think get with the DFA connection though. But yeah, so it's I would say if you're into that kind of like goofy indie 80s throwback with a killer riff, check it out. Let's listen to a little bit of it right now.
I'm afraid to think that what we were taught to think could hurt us.
That was Yacht, Terminal Beach. Next up, let us talk about Natalie Prass, who was, maybe still is, a Jenny Lewis backup singer, and now she's kind of stepping into her own limelight and working on an album, I believe her debut album for 2015. So I'm going to toss this off to
That's fine. Yeah, I really, really enjoy this song from Natalie. Yes, she was touring with Jenny Lewis until this year. So, you know, with Jenny's new album. And, yeah, she has a new album coming out early next year. She had two, I guess it depends on what she categorizes them as, like EPs or mini albums. But I guess this will be her longest undertaking so far. And, yeah, she's from Nashville, and it's interesting because you can definitely hear the Nashville influence in her, but it's something that I think is more reflective of someone like Jenny Lewis, that more of a very polished, very well put together indie singer-songwriter who nods to Americana, but is just like very content in their own space. And, you know, it's a breakup song, but it's very like self-assured, which I liked. And the vocals are fantastic.
Yeah, I have to say, sorry, I forgot to mention, the name of the song is Why Don't You Believe in Me? And I got serious Laura Nyro vibes from this. And I'm a big Laura Nyro fan, so which is good. You know, she was like a kind of late 60s, early 70s singer-songwriter. Her biggest hit was Stone Soul Picnic, which was actually Fifth Dimension, ended up getting a bigger hit than she did with it. But it's kind of the same combination of these like soulful, subdued horns and like interesting piano work that you, it used to be in vogue in indie music, and I have to say it seems to have fallen off, and I don't know why. Like, it's,
I think
because
the mainstream has taken on more of it, I think, is why, because you see these more like folk bands charting.
Right, yeah. And I would say, yeah, this kind of like goes towards that more like soulful folk vibe than your like barnstorming Mumford type thing. So I'm a fan of this. I'm very curious to see, I guess, what the album sounds like. All right, well, let's listen to it. It is Natalie Press, Why Don't You Believe in Me?
Father and father, you pretend as if you don't know how it's bringing me down.
All right, that was Natalie Press. Next up, let's talk about Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters, at long last, dropped their eighth album today. Eighth album has eight tracks recorded in eight different cities. The song I picked is
recorded
Congregation.
With John and Kate plus eight?
Yeah, John and Kate
and
plus
the
eight.
The cast of eight is enough?
Is the official.
And an octopus. So they went all, out.
Yes, and they were watching Fellini's Eight and a Half while doing it. And
that's the sequel. That's like the mini follow-up.
Right? Yeah, the EP Eight and a Half.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Anyways, so the song I picked from the album is called Congregation. It has Zach Brown of Zach Brown Band. For me, this is, I would say, a song that I like the most on the album. It's, well, first off, I'd like to say, so they're ostensibly, they're going to all these different cities to kind of record a song that sounds like the city or is inspired by it.
Yeah.
This is the Austin, Texas song. I mean, it doesn't really sound like Austin, Texas from any decade. It just sounds like a 70s, like, classic rock radio hit. But that's a great thing. Like, the crazy thing is like, Foo Fighters are not even like, or at least with this song, like this is not where rock is in 2014. It's not where rock was in 1994. Like this is like 1974, like driving down the highway, like cruising with your AM
Seger,
radio.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like super like hard on sleeve, like big chorus. But somehow it's almost like it's not cheesy because there's no irony to it. Like it's just, it just is what it is. And I think it works.
That's neat because you say that rock isn't in this space at all, but because Zach Brown is on there, with some country music, I can see country being more in that space, taking over this much more traditional rock vibe. And I guess it's a shame that the whole Foo Fighters album doesn't sound more like this, because that would be really cool. Because like you were saying, I was disappointed that even though Dave went through all this meticulous work interviewing all these people from each of the eight cities, the songs themselves just don't. They just sound like, kind of like Foo Fighters songs. They don't really, you don't really hear it, be like, oh, the Seattle song.
It's, yeah.
But that being said, this song is really good.
That like to be like within like the first 10 seconds, be like, ah, Washington D.C.
A Northern Dutch jukebox.
What if it was like a Sufjan album where he was just like,
I know,
super blatantly making it about every.
That would be so awesome. Just like naming like politicians that came. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Like the Austin song is just called like Rick Perry. Like Rick Perry.
I would listen to that.
Hey, I would listen to it too. Yeah, man. I mean, we talked Foo Fighters a couple weeks ago on another Must Hear Music podcast for a very long time. It was really funny because it was me and Joe and Aaron and Aaron was here and we talked about a lot of pop music and some rock and some hip hop. And then she left. She had to leave before the taping was done. And then me and Joe were just like, all right, let's talk about modern rock for a while.
Yeah.
We just talked about the Foo Fighters for like 20 minutes.
Right.
So I'm not going to do that.
You didn't rush Erica in to talk about the Foo Fighters?
No. Erica Ramirez, the hip hop and Foo Fighters aficionado. No. I think I just echo what you guys are saying about this song.
All right, but let's listen to it. Let's listen to Foo Fighters' Congregation. All right, next up, let's talk about, this is Jason Lipschitz's pick, it's Jose Gonzalez, song is called Every Age, and I'm going to spike the ball your way.
Yeah, so Jose Gonzalez, next February, is releasing his first album since, I think, 2007. It's called Vestiges and Claws, and Every Age is the first song that we've gotten from it, and I've spent some time with this whole album. I was fortunate enough to get a early promo copy of it, and it's great. I mean people who are fans of In Our Nature, his last album, are really going to like what's going on here, and Every Age, and I think along with the rest of the new album, is it's interesting because a lot of In Our Nature, I don't know how familiar you guys are with his last album, but a lot of it was very the refrains were very repetitive, and not in a bad way, it's just that was kind of his style, and these songs kind of spread themselves out a little bit more. They languish a little bit, and I think in a really interesting way. I think he's spent this time. He's done so many different projects since In Our Nature came out in 2007, but he spent this time growing as a writer and taking on some different things. And I think Every Age, it's a great preview of what's to come.
All right, let's listen to it. Jose Gonzalez, Every Age.
We don't choose where we're born.
All right, that's all we have this week on the Must Hear Music podcast. I want to thank Jason and Chris 10 million times, divided between the two of you, for joining me. And next up, we have an exclusive in-studio performance from Mr. Wives, who are a fantastic New York band. They popped into the Billboard Studios to perform their song Reflections. It's a really beautiful song, and they did just a knockout job doing it. So that plus an interview with those guys is right here.
Hey, where?
Mr. Wise.
And this is our song, Reflections.
dismissed every rule to abide by. Our bodies undressed, our layers are shy, revealing the truth that was buried inside. Felt our feelings, and now are bursting out. There seems upon me, I'm shattered, it's a blemish. Shattered, this sparks now, you're shattering.
All right, Mr. Wives, thank you so much for stopping by the Must Hear Music podcast. That's a really beautiful song, and honestly, that was just incredible. Like seeing, like I liked the song, listening to it just on my headphones, but like hearing you guys play it live was incredible. Like you all sound so great together. I'm just curious, like you know,
Thank you for all those things.
Oh yeah, no problem. You've got an interesting band. You've got obviously a lot of different instruments. Like, how did you guys find each other?
Okay, Cupid. That's what we're going with, because it's a long story that's not exciting. We just met, through random jobs and friends and previous bands, and came together almost 2 years ago. I had a show booked, and we, me, Will, and Eight were a band for a little bit of time, and we're demoing songs in his apartment, and then we needed a full band because I had the show booked, and we all came together for one rehearsal, and it just clicked, and we all were like, this is really awesome. Let's keep doing this, and just kept going, and now we're here.
And you're New York-based. Are you guys all originally from New York?
Minus Scotland over here in the house, our guitarist.
Hello.
Say it loud so they can hear it. The rest of us, yeah, cover almost all the boroughs, Queens and the Bronx and Staten Island.
Wow, pretty representative. And that song in particular, Reflections, what's the genesis of that? Like, it's a really beautiful tune. Where did that come from?
Oh, thank you. Heartbreak.
Oh, really?
It doesn't sound like it because it's such an upbeat, like, you know, happy melodic song. But I don't know, it just kind of blew out of me at 3 a.m. There's a better word for that, but you know what
I mean? I think that'll do. I think blue will do.
I was going through a really horrible heartbreak of someone who was half in and half out of being in love. And it was kind of my, like, I'm going to make a dance anthem to this to help me get over this and sing it to myself every day.
So. Right. And at this point, when you sing it, you feel great about it. It doesn't bring you down.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. Dude. That was many years ago. I wrote it a few years ago, so I kind of laugh at it now. And the person who is about contacted me. I was like, oh my God, you're all over Spotify. Like, congrats. And I'm like, thanks for all the songs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's your fault. But no problem. And so you guys are working on an album now, your debut album. So what can we expect from that? Like, when is it going to come out? Like, what kind of songs? What are we looking forward to?
Our first full-length album is going to drop in February. We're really excited about that. I mean, for us, it's huge because we recorded the EP independently. So that's all, like, programmed drums. And we didn't get to really live in a studio and build it from the ground up. So there's live drums. This guy, who's incredibly talented on the drums, gets to bang around. And... I don't know. We've been a band for a while, so all the songs we've got to work together. Like, I wrote them and brought it to everyone, and we got to arrange it together versus the last ones were all kind of pre-existing, I guess. And the sound is just a graduated version of us, you know? Not that we're getting more mature by any means. That's not the case, but I feel like we've really honed in on what our sound is, and there's a lot of horns, and it's kind of like Motown-y, but also...
Yeah, I was going to say, there's kind of like an R&B vibe to the way you deliver your lyrics, which is cool. Oh. And I didn't realize it until you were rehearsing and you were doing City High and Aretha Franklin for your warm-up songs. And then when I heard that, I was like, wow, that totally makes sense.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm from Queens. So I used to, Aretha Franklin is a huge idol of mine. And I've grown up on, you know, kindergarten talent show. Respect was what I was doing when I was this big. So those are all huge influences to me. I mean, we all come from very different musical backgrounds, but share a lot of the similar tastes, minus Primus.
I thought you were saying Well,
that's what brought you guys together.
That's
with
my
share.
Part.
Share and Primus.
But you do a good share. You want to do it for everybody?
Can we get the share?
Share.
You need the costume, though.
Yeah, I need the
costume.
You did
it during sound. You would do it during sound check all the time.
Do you believe in love after love? That was thank
That's
you.
It.
I appreciate
That's horrible.
That.
Turn this off. But once the auto tunes on it, it sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I don't think I'm going to get anything better than that. So
yeah,
I'm just going to end it on that. And again, thank you guys so much for stopping by the podcast. Really great song. It sounds incredible.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.